You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. Whoa, oh, oh, oh.
The Punt Podcast, in association with the FWA.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
Busy.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One in 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Right, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. Their odds against. Love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes. Listen on Audio Boom or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Yes, hello everybody, welcome along to the Punt Podcast here at William Hill. Big weekend of football to look forward to, some big games in the Premier League that will affect both the top and the bottom end of the table, and we've got the FA Cup semi-finals as well, so top stuff to look forward to this weekend. My name is Mark Walton, joined on the line first of all by Punt Podcast regular Derek McGovern. How are you, Derek?
Yeah, I'm great. Yeah, a great weekend ahead, and it's one of those weekends where the FA Cup semi-final comes around and nobody gives two hoots for it. It's all the Premier League or nothing, it seems, at the moment.
That is Derek singing the same tune as he has done with the FA Cup all season. We're joined by FWA guest this week, Mark Cogdon from ESPN. How are you, Mark?
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. Thanks for taking the time out as well, because you're currently in transit at the moment, aren't you? And you managed to find a nice place in the train station to record this.
Yeah, I was at Tottenham last night, so I'm just heading back. So that was a big night at the new stadium. So, well worth the wait after all that time. But great stadium.
Yeah, it looks incredible, to be fair, the new stadium.
The stadium's fantastic. I mean, I made a point last night saying it is a 21st century stadium. It's just a shame that it's surrounded by 19th century transport infrastructure, because after the game, it was just chaotic, you know. Lack of trains, lack of, you know, space in the streets to walk the train. It was just a bad mess. But hopefully sometime in the future they'll resolve that, but I don't see it happening very soon, to be honest.
Fair enough. Plenty of Premier League action on Thursday night with Spurs opening their new stadium. Wednesday night with Spurs opening their new stadium. We've got plenty to look forward to throughout the rest of the week as well. It's been a busy old time since the return of domestic football, and we start with Premier League action on Friday night as Southampton play host to Liverpool. Southampton are 7-1 in the betting. The draw is 7-2. Liverpool are 2-5. One side in a relegation tussle in the shape of Southampton, of course, and the other striving to win the Premier League for the first time. Derek, will come to you first. Liverpool 2-5. It's been nervy for Liverpool for a number of weeks now. They get the chance to go back to the top of the Premier League and put the pressure back on City. But a lot of people talking of this as a bit of a banana skin. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I think so too. Something inside me is screaming at a Southampton win is the value call at 7-1. I wish it would just shut the hell up. It's doing nothing. I mean, if Southampton win this, they can probably forget about relegation and concentrate on their main target, selling their best players to Liverpool. You know, they've in their last home game, they beat Spurs. In December, they beat Arsenal. They've won three of their last four matches, and they're 7-1 to beat the Liverpool team that are far from flying. In fact, Liverpool have only won two of their last five away in the league. I just can't have Liverpool at those kind of odds, especially after watching them last week against Spurs. I thought they were just so jammy. And I tell you what, in all the column inches that's been written about Liverpool recently, I cannot believe that Alisson, the keeper, avoids the flak. I mean, he avoids the flak like he avoids the ball. Last week, he against Spurs, he played like Sylvester Stallone, not in Escape to Victory, in Stop or My Mum Will Shoot and Probably Score. I think he's been a very, very lucky man that Liverpool keep getting victories and his performances are going unnoticed, and that they are certainly not. I mean, bring back Simon Mignolet, that's how bad he's been.
Wow. Goals have become a problem, haven't they, Mark, for Liverpool? They had five clean sheets back-to-back, but since then, have now conceded in four straight matches. And since the turn of the year, they have been leaking goals at the back, and that's causing them a few problems.
Yeah, they have. And, you know, you mentioned the goals, and, you know, Mo Salah, I think, is it 8-9 games now that he's gone without scoring? I know that they were trying to give him the goal at the weekend, but, you know, he headed the ball backwards and it bounced off Alvarado's shin, so I'm not sure he can claim that one. But they're not as...
He did, though, didn't he? He did claim.
Yeah.
Well, how desperate is that, man?
It's Harry Kane levels, isn't it? But I don't think he got it. But yeah, I've seen a bit of Liverpool recently. The one thing that struck me the weekend against Tottenham was that, and they've been doing this quite a lot in a way, in games at home and away, if they're not winning in the final 10 minutes, you throw everything at the game, and they got away with it last week. It was two at the back, but, you know, Spurs had three good chances to score, and I think that I do think at some point in the next six games, that luck might just desert them a little bit. And I take what Derek's saying about Alisson, that, you know, he's living on the edge a little bit. And the thing is, it only takes one big mistake, as Loris Karius found out at the Champions League final, that one big mistake can change everything. I think, you know, I won't say it's a sense of Liverpool believing that the luck is going to hold out, but it did feel like that against Tottenham, that they feel almost invincible, that they can get away with whatever they want, they will win the game. And I don't know, I'm not sure Southampton's where they'll slip up, but I do think that somewhere down the line, very very soon, there's going to be a kind of a slip's the wrong word, isn't it, especially with the Steven Gerrard thing in mind, but certainly Chelsea at home as well. But I do think there's something around the corner which might just kind of balance out the luck a little bit.
Okay, but you don't think it will be against Southampton?
I just don't. Liverpool and City have both been blowing the lesser teams away this season. You know, they don't drop many points against teams at the bottom half of the table, and I think it'll continue that they'll win this game quite easily, I think. But I think the Chelsea game at home and maybe the Wolves game on the final day of the season are the ones that could be the problems for Liverpool.
Yeah, still plenty of football to play before Liverpool can potentially lift the Premier League title for the first time. If you fancy Liverpool to win and both teams to score, given what we mentioned at the back with problems with Alisson and conceding goals and such, 2-1 for Liverpool to win the match and both teams to score. I don't really mind the look of that. And a player we need to mention here, I suppose, is Sadio Mane. Last time Southampton beat Liverpool, Mane got a brace that day. He's subsequently gone to Liverpool and he's been their star man in front of goal recent weeks. He's even money to score any time. He's 9-2 to score two or more if you think he'll play a big part against his former club. Overriding opinion then, you think Liverpool will get the job done, Mark. What did you do you end up going with Southampton here, Derek? Are you going to take a punt on the 7-1?
Yeah, I looked at this fixture early in the week and I thought, if I can get 5-1 or more Southampton, I'll be on them. And a 7-1, so I'll be on them.
OK, going through the games in chronological order, the next we have is Saturday evening on TV. This is in the FA Cup. It's the semi-final between Manchester City and Brighton. Man City are 1-9. The draw is 15-2 and Brighton are 22-1. Brighton's run to the semis has come at a cost to their league form. They've been poor in the league since the turn of the year and looking anxiously over their shoulder, really, towards the relegation zone. So this is a welcome distraction, perhaps, or a distraction that's been causing them problems. You make your mind up. But City have barely put a foot wrong. That defeat to Newcastle, the only blemish in a spotless record in this calendar year. It was 2-0 to City last time these two sides met. And City have good form at Wembley as well, of course, beating Chelsea here recently in the Carabao Cup final on penalties. Everything in my instinct says go with Manchester City here, Mark. But at the price, 1-9 versus 22-1 for Brighton in a two-horse race, What do you approach this as a value angle, I suppose? Because you can't back City at 1-9, can you?
No, I mean, 22-1 is an amazing value, isn't it, really, for a two-horse race involving two Premier League teams. But I wouldn't put anything on it, to be honest. I think it's I do think that City are just, this is a game that they'll just coast to victory. They've got a big game in midweek at Tottenham in the Champions League, and you know, potentially they could have one eye on that, and Guardiola might rest a couple of players with that in mind. But I still think that, you know, of all the semi-finalists, he could have been drawn against Brighton, the one that they would have wanted, because I think, you know, Wolves would have given him a game, and Watford, they've got a bit of an awkwardness about them. But Brighton, you know, I just think they've got bigger things to deal with. They need to stay up, and I just think that I just can't see any way that Brighton get a result here. And I was at the game in the cup final in 2013 when Wigan beat City. You know, people will point to that Wigan, you know, Wigan were relegated. They scored a late goal to win the game in the cup final, but I don't know. This City team's just on a different level, I think. You know, the big question is, can they do the quadruple? I think they've got a great chance of doing it, but I don't see that coming undone at Wembley at the weekend. I really don't.
What about yourself, Derek? Can I tempt you with that 22-1?
No, not that. I mean, in a way, I suppose it's the FA Cup, and we've seen City lose to Wigan in that final that Mark mentioned. And also, again, was it last season they lost to them in one of the early rounds in the FA Cup to Wigan again? So, you know, they've got previous for cocking up against lower teams. It depends on how much Brighton want it. I mean, I'm not saying if Brighton want it, they'll win. That would be daft. They're 22-1, for goodness sake. And they're not in City's league. But, you know, they could take advantage if City think, well, you know, this is an easy game. Bit of complacency creeps in, as it did against Wigan. And we've got a big game against Tottenham in midweek. There is that possibility. I mean, bookies traditionally offer, Mark, odds of more or fewer than 2.5 goals in an average game. Well, for Brighton games, they change the word goals to attacks. I mean, if doctors only give you a few weeks to live, spend it watching Brighton, because it will seem like a lifetime. Whenever they're on telly, your heart sinks. So I don't think this is going to be a great game unless City really turn it on and start pairing. And I don't think they will, because
there's nothing in it for them, really. Will they win? Yes, of course they will. They're 1-9. They should do. They've already won, basically. That's bookmaker's shorthand for saying. But I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk. I've looked at Brighton's scores against the big teams. I think they've only been taken apart by one of them this season. They've kept most of them down. And given that this isn't a Premier League game, it's an FA Cup game, and City's attention might be elsewhere, there might be a little bit of miles in Brighton plus 2 goals at 7-4. This is a tough one to call. It always is when there's a red hot jolly at 1-9. You never know what way to play it. But just because of the doubts about City's commitment, I'll go for that 2-goal start at Brighton at 7-4.
Yeah, I mean, you imagine the game plan for Brighton is just going to be keep it tight, sit in there and try and nick a goal. So if you think they can hold City back for a little while, under 2.5 goals is priced about 6-4, which the traders obviously fancy this to be a bit of a goal fest, probably in City's favour. Man City to win in under 2.5 goals is 5-2 if you think that Man City could end up winning this 1-0 or 2-0 with it being a pretty tight and level affair. And Derek's bet there, obviously, with Brighton plus 2, meaning that City can win by the odd goal and still go through, of course, and that's 7-4. Interesting game. Should be, I was going to say, should be interesting to watch. Should be quite tense, I imagine, unless Man City cut loose. That's the Saturday action. Let's move on to Sunday's games then. We've got a Premier League game and an FA Cup semi-final, followed by Monday night action in the Premier League still to come as well. 2:05 on Sunday afternoon, Everton take on Arsenal in the Premier League. Two sides that have been accused of having a soft centre in recent times. Both have picked up recently. Two wins back-to-back for Everton and two clean sheets there as well. Will have done them a world of good. Arsenal have won 4 in a row now in all competitions. It's one of those games here, Derek, where you can state cases for both of them being positive on their day, but they have off days quite often as well. So which way do you see this going?
Yeah, it's a tough one. But Everton's priced 21-10. It doesn't scream value so much as scream back Arsenal. I can't have them. I know they've improved recently, but that performance against West Ham last week, I'm not sure what it was. Everton being brilliant or West Ham just being an absolute joke. The odds favour Arsenal, favourites are just over even money. Well, Arsenal favour is playing Everton. They've won 8 and drawn 1 of their last 10 meetings, and I've got a feeling that will continue. I look at Arsenal, and whenever I look at their team sheets, more so than any team in the league, the team sheet to me matters for Arsenal, because if Mesut Ozil plays, I think, no, I'll oppose them. I just can't have that man. The only man who goes missing more than my remote control, I just can't have the guy. And yes, I keep reading from all these former players he's played with, he's the best player I've ever seen, best player I've ever played with. It's got to be some sort of joke. If he plays, I'll go off Arsenal, but I've got a feeling he won't, because he's always feigns a sick note for an away game. I'm going to go for Arsenal here. I thought they were impressive against Newcastle in midweek, and I just can't have Everton at these kind of prices.
Okay, 5-4 for Arsenal, Derek's selection. Everton 21-10. The draw is 13-5. So the market shows it's quite hard to call from a betting perspective as well here, Mark. Which way would you lean?
It is, and I think Everton are. What you're going to get with Everton, they beat Chelsea recently, but they lost to Man City and they drew with Liverpool in that really dour game. They're a really hard team to call, and I think Marco Silva still trying to find out what his best team is, what his best tactics are. It just seems a club and a team in a state of flux right now. And as Derek said, Arsenal do tend to blow Everton over home and away. And every time I think of Everton v Arsenal, I just think of Arsenal running rampant at Goodison Park or at the Emirates with breakaway attacks and scoring 3 and 4 goals. And the one thing that Arsenal have got in their favour is a strong attacking lineup. Defensively, I'm not convinced, but then I don't think Everton's attacking quality is good enough to really test Arsenal's dodgy back four. So I think Arsenal got a bit between the teeth. They really know they can get in the top four, and I think them and Spurs are probably the two form horses for the top four. So I think Arsenal will win this game and give them a real boost for the top four chances.
5-4 for Arsenal. I suppose just aside from this game, Arsenal moved up to third in the Premier League in midweek. They've got one of the easier run-ins of those towards the top end of the table. Could we be talking at the end of the season of Arsenal back in the Champions League, hitting the top four and call it a successful season, I suppose, in inverted commas?
I think so. And I think the Europa League's also open as well. They've got a decent route to the final. I think they'll probably beat Napoli in the quarterfinals, and we could be set up for a Chelsea-Arsenal final in Azerbaijan, which is a bit odd, but I'm not sure that Arsenal deserves to be in the top four, but the table doesn't lie, to say that the team that strikes me as being with a real soft centre. But if they get in the top four, it might be down to the kind of the failings and inefficiencies of Chelsea and Man United, because I just think that Arsenal are nowhere near where they need to be. But if they get back in the Champions League, it'll certainly accelerate getting them back there.
bring better players in and so on and so forth. And under a new manager, they might change their tactic with transfers and such. Anyway, we'll keep an eye on that as the season progresses. We'll turn our attention back to the FA Cup now. 4 o'clock kickoff on Sunday at Wembley, of course, as Watford take on Wolves. Watford in the market at 21-10, 11-5 for the draw, 11-8 for Wolves. Two sides have done what they've set out to do in the Premier League. They're both safe. They're both no chance of getting relegated and then looking up rather than down, I suppose. They can now focus on the FA Cup. Both come here off the back of midweek league wins as well. Watford relegated Fulham and Wolves surprised Manchester United. I suppose Wolves have done it the hard way in the FA Cup. They needed a replay against Shrewsbury. Home wins against Liverpool and Manchester United, which stand out as good results, of course. It could be trappy this, though. I think it's quite hard to call, Derek. Watford on their day look pretty good. Wolves against the Big Six look good, but maybe not against everybody else. Which way does this go? And obviously a prize of an FA Cup final for the winners.
Yeah, well, I can't believe the price for Wolves are being priced up like this, you know, like at a top four side. A favourite 11-8. I'm not saying Watford a great bet at 21-10, but it definitely compares favourably to Wolves at 11-8. And again, everything compares favourably to Wolves if you've ever been there. It's a tough one to call, I know that. And both sides won in midweek, and I really didn't expect that. I thought they, you know, if they had any sense about them, they'd not try the leg and kept all the powder dry for this. And yet they both got great wins. Don't understand it. Cost me an absolute bomb. I've got a feeling this match will cost me a bomb as well, because I'm going to go for Watford, but not with any great deal of confidence. It's just that when I see Wolves at 11-8, they're only a point ahead of Watford in the league. Basically, there's nothing to choose between these two sides, in my eyes. One's 11-8, one's 21-10. I've got to go for it. I like Watford. I think they're one of these teams that they're always underestimated by bookies. You're always going to get a shade above the odds, the true odds, because for some reason, the bookies don't see them as a glamour outfit. They don't see the manager doing anything great. And yeah, I think he's in the running. Both managers, in fact, have got to be in the running for manager of the season, which of course will be made to look stupid if City win the quadruple. But at this moment, they've both done a great job. And whichever one gets to the final, they're in the running for that gong. I'm not making a great case here for Watford, but I don't think anybody could make a great case for any of the three outcomes here. But I'm going to go for Watford, 21-10. I think when you look at the two odds, Watford win or a Wolves win, you've got to be with Watford.
Watford 21-10 in the betting there to win in 90 minutes. Of course, this is a semi-final, so we could see extra time and penalties. Watford to qualify is 11-10. That takes into account extra time and penalties as well, of course. And you can back Watford to win in extra time at 11-1 or to win on penalties at 9-1. On the flip side of that, Wolves to win in extra time is 9-1 and Wolves to win on penalties is 9-1. If you do fancy either side, or you're a bit like Derek and you think it'll be tight, could be worth a little interest in those if the game does go long. What do you make of it, Mark? Do you think this is one of those games where it's going to be tight and we might need extra time and penalties, or can you see a clear winner?
No, I think it could be tight. I think it's a really, really good cup tie. I just think that, you know, it really is 51-49 either way. And, I think Wolves have got the great and big match quality. They've got, you know, people like Moutinho and Neves. I think, you know, that they're used to this sort of occasion from Portugal in their early career. So I think if there's a sense of, you know, two sets of players being fazed by the occasion, I think it's less likely to happen to Wolves. But, you know, I think the key for me will be Watford's goalkeeper selection, because so far he's Javi Gracia has gone with Gomez to the FA Cup, and I think, you know, you're at the FA Cup final stage now. You've got a cup final on the brink, and Ben Foster's been so good this season for Watford that I think it'd be foolish by Gracia if he goes with Gomez, because we all know that Gomez has a mistake in him, and I think, you know, Foster is a much better goalkeeper, so why risk playing your second choice keeper when you're one game from the final? So we don't know yet whether Foster will play, but I think if Foster does play, it makes Watford a much stronger bet, and I think that would edge it their way. If Gomez plays, I'd go for Wolves.
Yeah, it's an interesting one to look at team news. It's one of those, isn't it, if you're a manager, I suppose. Do you stay loyal to the guy who's played in the cup all the way through, or do you just think, nah, I'm just going to put my best team out? It's quite a tricky decision, isn't it, I suppose?
Well, I mean, I was at the Chelsea Spurs Carabao Cup semi-final on the night that I think Pochettino left Lloris out and played Gazzaniga, and I think, you know, as we saw at the weekend, Lloris isn't exactly infallible. He won the World Cup last year, and if you're in a major semi-final, you've got to go with your best team. You know, the whole thing about, oh, I want to be fair to the number two, well, it's an unforgiving sport, football. You've got to go with your best team, you've got to win things. So I just think that pick your best team, and then if somebody's upset on Monday morning, you just deal with it then.
Yeah, and I suppose one thing you don't want to do is put a keeper in that's not good at penalties, and when you want to try and swap him, work him off the pitch, because we learned that earlier in the season as well with Chelsea, of course. Okay, so both pundits leading towards Watford then in that particular semi-final. Let's move on to the final game we look at, Monday night football, as Chelsea take on West Ham. Chelsea 1-3 in the betting. The draw is 17-4, and West Ham are 8-1. Before we get stuck into the match, just want to talk about Hudson-Odoi with your first mark. He started his first Premier League game midweek. He had a good game. He got an assist. He's obviously made his first England start as well a couple of days and weeks ago. So he's a big talking point around Chelsea. The one positive around Chelsea, perhaps, at the moment, given the negativity towards the manager.
Yeah, I think Loftus-Cheek comes into it as well as another positive, the homegrown player that's starting to perform for the first team. But, you know, Hudson-Odoi, you know, he's only a kid. But what we've seen him so far, certainly with England and, you know, the glimpse at Chelsea, he's a real talent. And, you know, Bayern Munich were going to pay, you know, prepared to pay about £40 million for him in January. So I'm pretty sure they'll come back in the summer. Other clubs are interested. There's a suggestion that Man United are interested. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if it comes down to it in the summer, if it's a case for the Chelsea board to say, right, is it Sarri or is it Hudson-Odoi? I think Sarri goes, because, first of all, Hudson-Odoi is worth a lot more on the balance sheet than Maurizio Sarri, but he's also the future. So, you know, why back a manager, as you know, at Chelsea, the managers at Chelsea don't last very long, when you could have a kid in the team, that a homegrown player that could be there for 10, 12 years? So I think, you know, we are a bit in danger of getting carried away with Hudson-Odoi. You know, we don't know if he's a new Lionel Messi just yet, but he's certainly a talented player, and he's one that Chelsea produced. So Chelsea really have to get behind him, and if it means, you know, backing him over a manager that nobody particularly likes, then I think it's a no-brainer. You go with Hudson-Odoi.
What do you make of the situation, Derek, before we get stuck into this match in particular? Because fans have been chanting Sarri out. They seem to have lost their love affair with Sarri ball that they were all so keen on at the start of the season. The Hudson-Odoi thing rumbles on. What do you make of the situation at Chelsea?
Yeah, I mean, Sarri out is a familiar refrain there, and that's just from the players, I think. I don't think they seem to be playing for him. Hudson-Odoi is a strange one because, yeah, he looks as though he's got the world at his feet, but maybe it's a symptom. Maybe it's an idea of why Bayern Munich are going pear-shaped. To be considered paying £40 million for him, right, it might, in 5 years' time, it might turn out to be, if they did buy him, it could turn out to be the deal of the century. But they were paying £40 million for a guy who hadn't made a Premier League start, who had a couple of bit part appearances in the Europa League. And they considered him paying £40 million for him. What do they know about him that we don't? You know, he could be great, yeah. But he could be crap. He could turn out to be crap. We've had so many of those. I just don't understand how he could possibly be worth £40 million. And maybe Chelsea fought so hard to keep him, suggest that, yeah, he is the real deal. But I'm sorry, I'd have to see an awful lot more of him before I say he's the next big thing. But Sarri seems to... why isn't he playing him? Because it's not as if the players he's putting in his first 11 are turning it on a regular basis. So, you know, you'd think if I was him, I'd play him. It'd shut the fans up for a little bit. But it seems to be stuck, doesn't it? He just seems to be a very stubborn man. And whether that will ultimately get him the bullet, as I suggest, I think it will. Well, remains to be seen. But that's by the by. This game is an absolute gimme for Chelsea. Because if you look at the West Ham last week, I'm struggling to think of a worse performance in the Premier League this season. And I've seen Everton an awful lot this term. I can't see how Chelsea can not possibly win this and win it well. And what price did you say they were, Matt? 1-3? Where are they?
Yeah, 1-3, yeah.
I mean, it's not the greatest price in the world, but I could see Chelsea winning this 2-0. Yeah, I just think they're absolute certainties.
Yeah, and the stats would be in the favour of that as well. I mean, West Ham on the road this season, haven't won an away game in all of 2019, haven't won at Stamford Bridge since 2002, when Paulo Di Canio scored an absolute wonder goal. So it's been a long time since West Ham got the better of Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. The form on the road isn't good as well. To win 2-0, by the way, Chelsea is 5-4, which is odds against. And yeah, I could see the angle there as well. You mentioned the £40 million price tag, by the way. I just want to go back to that for a second. Is that just because the transfer market now is ridiculous? Players are going for £50 million, £60 million, £80 million, £200 million in some cases. Is that, you know, is £40 million today what was £10 million 10 years ago?
I think so. I mean, was it Dominic Solanke went to Bournemouth in January for about £19 million, which is just ridiculous for a guy that had, you know, barely kicked the ball. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of inflation there. And, yeah, I suppose it is that £40 million is now, you know, the going rate for a, you know, a player with potential. But it is all about the potential. You know, if you're 18, 19 years old, you know, clubs think they can get 10 years out of you, and they'll break it down over a 10-year deal. It's £4 million a year. So it's not a massive risk, and they'll probably keep the value a little bit. But, yeah, that's the way it's gone. It's just, £40 million now, it's not really a lot of money when you consider how much TV deals were.
And what do you make of Monday night's match, Mark? Who would you side with there?
Yeah, I'm with Derek. West Ham, for me, are just one of those, the strangest clubs. They're like Aston Villa and Sunderland used to be. They seem to hover around mid-table in the Premier League forever, without beating anybody particularly, without losing any key games. But they never seem to do anything. They always seem to get the odd hammer in. And, as you saw with those clubs in the past, the Villas and the Sunderland, it can only last for so long, this kind of prolonged mediocrity. And at some point, the fans get fed up with it, and it becomes ingrained that they just don't really achieve anything. And I think West Ham, they've got these big ambitions. They talk a good game, and they're a big club, this, that, and the other. But they never seem to win anything. Or, the players, as soon as they get a decent player, they're on the way. And this game on Monday, it's just like Derek said, it's a 3-4-0 for Chelsea for me. I think West Ham, for that horrible phrase on the holidays, and I don't see Pellegrini being a sort of manager that can kick him out of it. I think this is West Ham on the slippery slope. I'd say if they're not going to get relegated, so they'll drift into the summer and then repeat again next season.
So both pundits go with Chelsea on Monday night as well. Before we let you go, fellas, finally, just best bet for the football this weekend. You can talk about any match you want, any bet you want. What's the best bet for yourself, Mark?
Well, I did say that I wouldn't put any money on Brighton at 22-1, but I just think in the two-horse race, there's so much that can happen. A red card, last season when City were knocked out of Wigan, it was Fabian Delph sent off. You just never know, and I think that is such long odds that I just think you've got to give it a go and just keep your fingers crossed and hope it comes off.
Okay, so 22-1, Brighton. That'll be an inspired selection if it comes off. What about yourself, Derek? Best bet for yourself?
Yeah, Chelsea to win 2-0, 5-4. I think it's nailed on.
Okay, I'm going to put up a best bet that you've both gone against earlier on. I think Wolves to win the FA Cup semi-final against Watford. I think Wolves, when they really turn it on this season, have been superb at times, and they seem suited when teams want to come and play at them. And obviously Watford can't play for a draw, they have to come at Wolves at some point, and I think Wolves will pick them off. I think 11-8 is a short enough price, but I think they'll win. Could you put me
fair
off
enough.
That, either of you?
Yeah, I'll definitely put you off there. I'm not saying they won't win, but 11-8 is a shocking price. That's they could win. Yeah, it's a toss of the coin for me, especially after the penalties or whatever. But 11-8 is just way too short for me.
I get it. It's short, but if you took the betting out of it and you said who do you think will win, I'd go Wolves. So I'm gonna go with that anyway. Thank you very much, fellas. Been a pleasure speaking to you both once more. Good luck with your bets this weekend, and enjoy the football.
Thank you very much. Pleasure.
So thank you to Derek McGovern and Mark Ogden there. Then best bets and selections for the televised games this weekend, the Premier League and the FA Cup semi-finals. More to look forward to throughout Europe as well, and in the Football League. We'll get the best bets in the Football League in just a moment or two. But let's have a glance across Europe and get a Euro nap for this week's action with Alex Dunn.
Alex Dunn here, and hot off the back of Udinese doing the Euro Napsters a favour last week, we're going to go to Spain this week for what I think is an absolutely knocking bet, and it's pretty obvious as well. Real Madrid have been a bit of a mess this season, if truth be told, and although they should beat Eibar on Saturday, you can do what you always should do when Real Madrid are playing at home and back them to win with the away side scoring. Eibar do score a fair few on the road, but they concede more. Their away record has been pretty poor in terms of wins, and surely they will lose at the Bernabeu here. But Real, always good to concede one, possibly two. Real and both teams to score is 11-10.
So there you go, best bet in Europe there from Alex. And we finish in the Football League. Plenty to look forward to in the Championship League 1 and League 2. Obviously getting down to the nitty-gritty as well. Not many games left. And big points on offer this weekend. We've got Pete Farries looking after the Championship. Gav Puchalowski takes us through League 1. And Al Ross gives us his best bet in League 2.
Hi, my name's Pete Farries, and for my Championship nap this week, I'm going to hope for better luck than I had last week. And by better luck, I mean I'm going to choose a better bet. This week, Brentford at 21-20 stand out to me as fantastic Championship value. Yes, they lost their last home game, narrowly, mind you, to a talented West Brom side. Outside of that, in very, very good home form, even if their general form recently hasn't seen them score in four. Three of those were away from home, and that's been Derby's problem in the last couple of months. They've not won in 2019 on the road, and as impressive as that 6-1 victory over Rotherham United was, it is Rotherham, and it is Rotherham on the road. So I'm going to take a punt here on Brentford. I thought they had a good chance against Swansea and was wrong, but I'm very, very happy to back them here, where I think I'll be right. Brentford 21-20, my nap of the week. Let's head to Gav Puszczalowski and get his thoughts on League One.
My nap in League One this weekend is a result that everybody tends to avoid when putting up an ACCA or a nap selection. But it's the draw, and draws do happen in football. It's 12-5, my nap, the draw between Plymouth and Charlton. Plymouth have drawn 3 of their last 5 games, and Charlton have drawn 3 of their last 5 games on their travels. I think this will be a score draw as well. Do look at late goals when Plymouth are in action. Late goals always happening. 2 goals in the last 6 minutes away at Blackpool. There was a goal in the last minute at home to Bristol Rovers. Goal in the final 10 minutes away at Fleetwood. And a goal in the last minute at home to Shrewsbury. So when Plymouth are playing football, look for goals in the final 15 minutes. And bearing in mind that 2 of the last 3 games at Home Park between Plymouth and Charlton have been draws, and 2-2 draws, and bearing in mind that Plymouth's last 2 games in League One have been 2-2 draws, you might be looking at goals in this one. So do look at the 12-5 for the draw. Have a cheeky punt on the 12-1 for the 2-2 as well. But my nap is the draw between Plymouth and Charlton. Looking at League Two, here's Al Ross.
3 weeks ago, I went for Tranmere at 21-10. 2 weeks ago, I went for Tranmere at 7-5. Last week, I went for Tranmere at 21-20, but this week I'm going for Tranmere 15-8. Now, someone is going to point out that Tranmere's winning run came to an end at Oldham in midweek, but I would point out that Tranmere had more shots and 60% possession, and in any case, on a Saturday, they're making us money every week. That midweek game was the first game in 6 that James Norwood hadn't scored. Does not mean he should be odds against to score this weekend, but for some reason he is. That's 6-5. It also doesn't mean that Tranmere should be nearly 2s. They are away at Newport. Now, Newport have won their last 2 at home, though those matches were against 3rd from bottom Yeovil and a Cheltenham side who've lost 6 of their last 7 on the road. And actually, Newport won that game with an own goal against a side who ended with 10 men. Their home record, you could argue, is slightly better than you'd expect for a mid-table side. But then you look at their last 5 remaining home fixtures and it's fairly obvious. Why? Because they're all against sides in the top half and include Bury and Lincoln. Both sides have only drawn 1 match since New Year's Day, so I am expecting an outcome either way. And when Newport are 6-4 and Tranmere are 15-8, there's only one winner for me, and that is my repeated winner, Tranmere, 15-8.
So thank you to all of our pundits there. Thank you very much to yourselves for listening as well. Very best of luck with your bets this weekend. Do check out those enhanced odds and other goodies on the website as well. Do take advantage of those bet boosts as well on your accumulators with 3 selections or more. And I hope you enjoy the football this weekend.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.